eyes, O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 34. Of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and he went away. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt in his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look at him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and his ears towards their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. First of all, it's good to be back with you again after a couple of weeks hiatus, one around the holiday time and the busyness around Christmas, another time that I was sick on a Tuesday, and my voice didn't sound particularly good today. You can still kind of hear a little bit of the head cold I'm fighting, but glad to join you again and look forward to the new year being able to share in the Psalms together. Psalm 34 is one that is certainly important. It's got several unique distinctives about it. First, by all scholarly accounts, it seems to have the element of the acrostic, of the sort of A to Z, or I can't remember the Hebrew alphabet, beginning and end of the Hebrew alphabet, but it begins and runs through with each of the lines containing a beginning from a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so it is, it has that sequential nature to it. It's not exactly perfect, but it has an acrostic pattern within it. Second, it is a psalm that has historical setting in that it records to be a psalm of David when he, it says in the title, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and went away. What's curious is in 1 Samuel, the name of the king that David changes his behavior for is Achish of Gath. And a Philistine king, of course, is a Philistine king. But Abimelech is the name given to the king that both Abraham and then his son Isaac tried to deceive when it came to spending time with him and the worry that they had that the king would take their wives. And so it harkens us back to that of being in enemy territory, of being in a moment where you have to rely, or attempted, I should say, to rely on your own cunning. And then this psalm, finally, the third thing that is distinctive about it is it's less a psalm of thanksgiving, less a psalm of praise, in that it does not address God directly, but it is a psalm of instruction and exhortation. It speaks to the man who David is speaking to. It says, when you're in these circumstances, when you're in difficulty, then let's look to the Lord. I think when you see several of these kind of clusters of verses that really stand out to me, the first is verses 8 through 10. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. Those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Of course, O taste and see that the Lord is good is one of those passages that is referenced in the New Testament in the book of 1 Peter. But it is this idea that taste and see that the Lord is good and fear him. And so really our call is to experience the Lord and to understand that the Lord, he is good. And as Golden Gay says in his commentary, this is less a statement of moral goodness as and not that it doesn't have that meaning, but a statement of good towards his people and towards those who love and fear and obey him. And so those who live their life in that obedience and love and fear then can expect that the Lord will be good towards them. Verse 10, of course, speaks to the young lions suffering want and hunger. And we picture for us today the many images of nature documentaries that we see. And certainly we understand that lions, as they grow, they are less experienced in hunting. And so the young lion is probably going to in some ways be the hungriest lion, the most motivated to figure out a solution to his problem, but will be doing so with less experience and less know-how than a lion that has been hunting for years. And so again, the temptation for us can be when we face moments of difficulty to immediately rely on our own cunning, on our own ability to manipulate ourselves out of the situation. In David's time with Achish of Gath, he actually ends up encountering him two different times while he's on the run from Saul and in the wilderness years. But that initial encounter, he comes before Achish and feigns madness, says that spittle is running down his beard. And the famous line, or the line I should say, maybe it's not famous, but I love the sarcasm that Achish says, am I short on madmen that you've brought David now before me? And David realizes that his situation is precarious and leaves for the borderland between the hill country of Judah and the Negev. And so, and then of course he comes back to Achish later, but in all this, it's a learning moment for him to learn to rely on the Lord and not merely his own cunning. Did he have to make a decision in this situation? Yes. But to rely merely on his own cunning is to put himself in the position of the young lion, that he will always fall short because he does not have the wisdom, he does not have the power that God has. Again, another few verses that I enjoy hearing is the face of the Lord, verse 16, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And again, for us, this passage in verse 18 is a sure comfort to us today, who many times, though our outward external appearances can be seeming to go well, we experience that sort of inward crushing of the spirit that can come so often. But it's good to remember that in this day and age, and in many people's situation, the inward crushing comes from a sense of outward crushing, that their life is truly in a very difficult place. They truly are in a moment of total despair. It's interesting because this contrast between Isaac and Abraham and then David would be clear here, because Isaac and Abraham are both at the points that they come before the Philistine king, before these kings, they have wealth and opulence, and their concern is merely that their wives will be taken and that there's some sort of threat towards that. David, when he is before Achish, has nothing. He's fled before Saul, and he is on the run with no friends to support him at this point, and no sense of ability to take care of these things outside of the priests at Nob having helped him. But it's good for us to realize that there are many who are crushed in spirit and are experiencing these things because of their circumstances. But God's goodness to us promises that he merely won't change not just our attitude, which is something and the thing we most need changed is the new heart, but he does change our circumstances. He will physically affect those. This is not some sort of prosperity promise that suddenly you will come into incredible amounts of richness and wealth, but it is a promise to those who are experiencing difficult circumstances, that the Lord redeems out of those circumstances. But again, not by your own might, not by your own power. Because the Lord ultimately redeems the life of his servants. Verse 22, none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Christians have testified that throughout all the centuries since the time of Christ. And we have done that in the circumstances that are the most challenging and ultimately many circumstances that ended in death. And yet that promise stands true that the Lord will not fail to redeem and save his people. Thank you again for joining us here at the Firmly Planted Tree. I look forward to some things coming in 2022 that are new, and just also the continued sharing of the Psalms and reflections together. I pray you have a blessed week, and may you, like the righteous man, be planted firmly by streams of peace. Thank you for listening. Find us online under the Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. And may the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks his presence to. With joyful song.